welcome, everybody. Let's Talk Real Estate, your weekly BS with Barry Saywitz about the current commercial real estate market here in Southern California. As we take a no BS look at both sides of the issues driving this market today to find the best solutions going forward. With our man right in the middle, it's Barry Saywitz. Hey, Barry.
Hey, good morning, Paul, and good morning to all of our viewers and our listeners out there. I am Barry Saywitz, president of the Saywitz Company. It is Tuesday morning. We are here to talk some more real estate. I want to welcome everybody back again. And before we get going, a continued shout-out to our servicemen and women who are either on their way or already in the Middle East to hopefully finish whatever we started and get it done so we can move on with our lives and get back to normal and get rid of the bad guys. So go there, do your thing, do it quick, be safe, and come home. With all of that said, on a lighter note, I do want to wish the UCLA women's basketball team, who is now in the Final Four, good luck, and I hope they can finish it off and take it all the way home, and we'll keep our fingers crossed for them.
So. No shout-out to the University of Michigan in the Final Four here?
Yeah, I'm going to do it. Yeah, and to Michigan as well. And so, got some big games
this
weekend.
My alma mater here.
Yeah, some big games this weekend, both on the men's and women's side. It should be exciting, for sure.
I think so. What's not exciting these days is everything's grinding to a halt again, seems. I read the other day, deal flows are at an all-time low here. People just can't seem to decide which way this world's going, and so they do nothing.
And I think that part of that's just a function of it's hard for people to make decisions when you have a combination of things going on that just keep you from doing that, right? So you have the war. If you don't know how long the war is going to go and what that impact might be to you or not, maybe it has no impact to you. But the war affects other things. So it affects oil prices. It affects gas prices. It affects stock market, huge volatility swings. And then you still have things like inflation and tariffs and insurance issues, other things that affect people's daily lives and their cost of living. And so when it's uncertain in the long term of where things are headed, good or bad, I find that just puts the brakes on people making decisions. So they sit on the fence and they go, you know what, I'm just going to wait. And if I think the war will be over in a month, I'll wait. If I think interest rates might come down in a couple of months, I'll just wait a couple of months. And what that does is there's less people looking and there's less deals going on in whatever genre you are operating in and whatever segment of the market. I feel like from the people we've had on the show and the people that we talk to on a daily basis, the deals that are getting done are the deals that have a motivation for one or the other or both parties to get it done. If there's a sale that needs to happen because of a death or a divorce or lawsuit or something like that, then there's motivation. The person who's not particularly motivated doesn't run to make a deal on the buy or the sell side, and whether it's commercial or residential. And so I think there's just going to be more of that. And I think we could break it down. But if you start with interest rates, if the expectation was that the Fed would drop rates a couple of times this year, two or three times.
Which has been the consensus of nearly every guest that came on. They expected at least one or two more interest rate cuts.
And the consensus of all major investment banks that we've talked to, which is the same thing. Now, you have to rewind before the war. That was the consensus. Now, there's no dropping of the rates anytime soon. Right. And so now you have to wonder if it's one drop or if it's no drops, is that going to even move the needle at all for anybody's expectations or for the reality of them making a deal any better? And I say no. And I say even if the rates dropped 25 or 50 basis points, it's not going to be enough to adjust the pricing for a buyer to say, okay, now it's a really good deal. And I think you still have sellers going, look, I want my number and I'll come off my number maybe a little bit, but if interest rates come down, that should help me get closer to the number I'm trying to get, which I feel is like a fallacy. It just doesn't work because it's not like the return is so dramatic on deals. The value add deal is the value add. The guy's adding value. The buying it for cash flow, unless you really are selling it at a higher cap rate, then I don't know how that works. And so I think the expectation of interest rates not dropping or not dropping soon or not dropping enough halts deals. And it also takes that conversation off the table. So as a real estate broker, as someone who's trying to sell a property, you can't give that pitch. It just doesn't hold water. And so now you need a different pitch, right? And then the different pitch is we do what's called the price correction. or the price improvement or the price adjustment, which I call it, you drop your pants. And so
a polite way of saying that.
And so the question is, how far did I drop my pants? And so is it a little bit, which doesn't, again, move the needle, just back to your interest rate conversation. If I'm selling a property, you pick a number for $1 million and I drop the price $20,000. Was it enough to motivate anybody? And the answer is no. If I drop the price $100,000, that's 10%. That's enough of a motivator, but then the problem you have is whoever comes to you will then offer you another $100,000 less than the $100,000. So you've just opened up the floodgate for something different, and no different on the leasing side. And so I had a conversation with a guy last week, and he said, what's the deal? And I said, I'm not going to screw around with you. We normally give 1 or 2 months of free rent. I'm going to give you 3 months of free rent. It's the most anybody ever got in the building. And then it was, hey, that's not enough. And people either test the waters or haggle, or they want to figure out where the bottom is. And then the problem is, if the guy said, look, I'll sign it tomorrow, give me another month or two of free rent. If you don't sign it, do you have somebody that's going to pay you rent in that time frame? And so you're not doing it because the market necessarily dictates it. You're not doing it because the other party necessarily deserves it. You're doing it because you need an end game to whatever it is that you're trying to do.
And you want certainty in an uncertain time here.
Yes, and you need what we call in our office certainty of close. And that really becomes the issue. And look, if you're on the buy side, which we are, if you're on the sell side, which we are, you look at it both ways. If you're the landlord and the tenant standing in front of you saying, I'll move in tomorrow, that's a big difference than the guy who says, I can't move for 6 months. And we've seen it. And so you now start to see things slow down in terms of activity, and then it adjusts other aspects of what's going on. So the banks slow down because they have less deals that flow that they're working on. The brokers slow down because they have to close the deal because they have less deals going on. If I'm working on 10 deals in a hot market, 8 or 9 might close.
Right.
In a slower market, some might unwind, and then I have to go back to the well, and I made no money, and B, I got to start all over again.
Yeah.
So we've seen it on the leasing side. We've seen it even in apartments, which continue to be strong. But the fact of the matter is you have less people out there looking around. And as a landlord, you have to be very careful about who you rent to. There are bad people out there. There are people with shaky credit. Those people don't deserve concessions. Yet again, you're back to, if you're standing at my front door, what do I do?
Money in hand here, right?
What do I do? And so as a landlord or a seller, you've got to either be willing to walk away or adjust accordingly or give something to be able to try and
how quick do you,
get
does the
done.
Market react to these swings? Will you start to see concessions quickly, or do people hold on for hope that this is just a short-term issue here?
And that's the other problem, because I've seen it in other cycles of the real estate market where the brokers tend to push the market, and then the comp tends to push the market good or bad. I remember when I started buying properties out in the Palm Springs area, and I would buy it at a really low cap rate because we were going to remodel it and we were going to raise the rent, and I didn't really care about the cap rate. It didn't even come into my conversation. I just cared about where we were going to get to. But the next deal, the broker would call me, and then he'd say, hey, this is at the same cap rate that you bought the other property at, and it didn't have the same kind of numbers. And I said, well, that doesn't matter. And so then they'd take it to a different buyer, and they'd say, look, this property down the street sold at this cap rate, and then we can, as a seller, we can get you that number. And so that's how brokers tend to push the market up in a hot market.
Right.
In a down market, what happens is the converse. The broker doesn't really talk about the swinging deal that they gave to somebody else, but it gets out, or if people find out about it, they use it against you. And so here's an example. If I have an apartment complex and we have a unit that we're struggling to get rented, and I say, look, just give somebody some free rent so we can get them in there. The guy's ready to move tomorrow. Give him a couple of weeks free or whatever the case is. And the next door neighbor talks to him and finds out about it. He says, hey, my lease is up. You gave my next door neighbor 2 weeks free rent. I want 2 weeks free rent. And if I don't, I'm going to move. And whether he's really going to move or not, he threatens to move. And now you've ratcheted the pricing down. And then if you did that for everybody, to accommodate them, maybe some deserve it, maybe some don't, you've now just completely whacked the value of your property. So you,
and maybe the market wasn't demanding that, you just did it.
And maybe the, right, and that's number one. And then number two, regardless, you've just adjusted your entire cash flow and you can't really afford to do that.
Goes back to what everybody always says, don't negotiate against yourself. And so many of us start by, let me cut it, or let me do this, or let me throw this in, as if that will close the deal. And all it does is just start a continuing cycle of more cuts or other things and stuff here.
Right. And so then the other problem is, too, then you have a disconnect between buyer and seller. And so then one party says, you know what, forget it, I'm out. And so then the deal doesn't close. So in a hot market, if you believed that the hot market was going to continue to go up, and somebody said to you, I'm holding your feet to the fire, you need to do this deal or walk away. And if not, there's maybe somebody else is going to come along and I'll get my price because the market is fine. Then there's some pressure for you to step up.
Right.
If you believe that the market is going down and tomorrow will be worse than today in terms of just the overall economy, then you
or demand or whatever.
Yeah, then you wonder to yourself, maybe I'm better off to wait, or maybe I don't have to make this deal. And so then I'll just wait. And then the other problem is you have hagglers that go, look, I'll just wait and you can call me in a month and then my number will be something different. And we've had other folks on the show that say, look, I'm not here to haggle. I'm just here to clean up somebody else's mess. Right. And if somebody else is really in a pinch and they really do need to sell or they really do need to make a deal, then I guess they'll come back to me at the end of the day. But that also slows down transaction volume because now you have deals that don't get done.
Right.
And then I talk to other brokers and they go, look, I've been talking to this guy for 6 months. Right, and the guy just keeps talking. There's no deal. And all of those things play into it. The problem is, if you look on the horizon, there's no certainty of the end of the war. There's no certainty of gas prices. There's no certainty of inflation.
And then an election year, and then uncertain about that.
Right, and you have to look at it and say, look, even if there's a swing of whatever you want to call it in the election, election's not till November, nothing's going to happen till January. Here we are, it's going to be April 1st. I got 8 more months of this year. I need to enact a plan for between now and the end of the year. And so some people just look at it and go, you know what, I'm just going to go duck and cover.
Yeah,
I'm going to hang out and I'll just wait and see what happens. And therein lies the problem.
Only exacerbates, only makes it worse.
Look, I think the president and his advisors all have to know that, and that you need positive.
He's a real estate guy.
Of course, he's got to know it. Look, you look at the stock market, it's up, it's down, you can't even pick it, and it fluctuates based on a tweet or based on a news blip.
Never seen that in my lifetime here. So overreact to any little hint, a rumor, and wow.
But if you're a day trader, it's very hard to even pick it. You could make a bunch one day and then lose yourself the next. And it really impacts, I think, things across the board. And then you have banks that get nervous, so they take a much closer look at who the borrower is and the deal and ask a lot more questions.
I was going to say, what impact does the bank have on this? For example, I remember years ago, one of the many recessions, it hit retail, commercial hard, and there were a lot of shopping centers sitting empty. And everybody thought, great, I'll just go in and offer them anything. It's empty. And they would say, I can't take your deal because if I do, my bank will call and they'll say, you told us you were going to get this amount of rent. Based on that, we gave you a loan. Now you're accepting less. You're never going to meet the loan. We're going to call the loan back.
And the difference is in today's market, if you have a pretty good interest rate on your loan, then you're not in jeopardy of losing the property. And unlike the recession where people were just handing the keys back to the bank and the bank didn't want it, either the bank would make a deal to not take the property back, or the landlord or seller would make a deal that would be unheard of just to not either go bankrupt or lose the property or whatever. You're not there today. And the reason you're not there today is because the real estate prices are still up from where they were before.
Right.
So if you look at a property and you say, look, I bought it for $1 million. I'm trying to sell it for $2 million and I'm struggling to sell it, whatever your property is.
Right.
And then I drop the price to $1.8 million and then somebody offers me $1.7 million. Did I take a haircut? Yeah, you did from where you started, but you're still making money.
Still making money.
Right? And so that's different than the guy who bought it for $2 million and has to sell it for $1
million. Right.
Because there's nobody there to market it, and $1 million's better than zero. I don't feel like we're there today, and you're not seeing that. And you're not seeing banks take properties back. There was a lot of talk that when all of these mortgages would roll, that people would wind up losing their properties because they couldn't afford to keep them.
Particularly some of the big high-profile properties in downtowns and stuff.
And so you are seeing that, and you are seeing office properties that they just can't fill trade at much higher cap rates and much lower price per square foot, because the problem is the next guy, there's nobody waiting in line to rent the property. And so there's no quick fix. There's no, I could fix this in 6 months or a year. I have no idea when you can fix it.
So will we see the emergence of what you kiddingly call the grave dancers, the guys that emerge with cash to take advantage of these down prices and scoop them up?
I think there's folks out there with cash, and they're fewer than the people that are trying to get rid of stuff. But those people don't need to make a deal. And those people are really hitting below the belt. And they're just waiting for somebody who says, you know what, okay, fine, uncle, I'll just sell
it.
Yeah. And it's not so much I quit. It could be an investment group that says we have a timeline and we have to unload it. It could be two partners got in a fight in a lawsuit and they're forced to sell. It's not so much that it's market driven, it's circumstance driven. And so if you're smart and you are looking for what I'll call super deals, then, you know, you can go out and do that. The problem is everybody, you get the average guy out there says, yeah, I'm looking for that deal. Great. That deal doesn't exist for the average guy.
No.
And if it did, somebody else would get to it first and buy it. But it also depends on the size of the transaction.
Right.
So on a larger transaction, you have much fewer buyers out there that are willing to take a risk on it. And then you have much fewer lenders that are willing to take a risk on it. And so you talk about a $100 million transaction versus a $2 million transaction, big difference.
You had Michael Rademacher on here, fascinating guy, owns tons of offices in the Inland Empire, moving into Orange County, buying up some high-profile things. And he said it all. You said, why are you buying office buildings? Everybody's unloading them. He smiled. He said, exactly. When everybody's selling, that's when I buy.
I understand, but there aren't 10 of those guys.
No.
Right? So there aren't 3 of those guys. If there were, people wouldn't be selling them at the price that they're selling them at, because there's no competition. And there's no competition for a reason, because it's a tough thing to do and it's not for everybody. And so part of the issue is for the average person out there who says, I was thinking about getting a new house, or I was thinking about getting a bigger house, or I was thinking about moving my offices to something nicer or closer to the beach or the airport or whatever it is, people just put the brakes on. They go, that's fine. And so what that also does is when people sign leases or make commitments, they also do shorter term. So
yes.
I'll give you an example. We give a tenant an option to sign a 1-year lease or a 2-year lease. Do you know what percentage of people take the 2-year lease? Very small percentage.
Right.
And then the problem is people just can't. If you can't see out 2 years, what about signing a 5-10-year lease?
10-year lease, yeah.
And so, again, that sort of stifles what's going on with transaction activity. I talked to residential brokers, there's less activity across the board.
Huge drop.
Whether it's small, medium, large size homes, I think the concept's the same. And people in real estate have a tendency to be in denial and put the blinders on and go, yeah, it's not that, that's fine.
Not that bad.
It's not that bad. And then one day they come in and they go, yeah, it's pretty bad. So I don't want to be a naysayer, but I do feel like we need something to kickstart the economy, and we need something to be able to get the transaction volume back up. It's going to be better for everybody.
And is it, when you say kickstart the economy, is it a interest rate?
It's a combination. Look,
something that gives it a kick in the pants and says, all right.
This is not a one-pedal bicycle. And if the war was over, that would help. If oil prices were down, that would help. If inflation was down, that would help. If jobs were up, that would help. If tariffs were down, that would help. And you had all of these things going on.
Yeah.
They were all moving in the right direction.
Exactly.
You realized that you had the Dow and the S&P at all-time highs and continuing to rise. You had gas at lower prices than they'd been in years.
Houses at all-time highs.
And so you were there, and then all of a sudden it derailed itself, and hopefully it's temporary.
And I wonder if it's a stimulus, like you're talking about, or it's just certainty. Because you've even said, all right, let's say bad things are happening here. Gas is going to be up for a while. War is going to go on for a while. Inflation is going to continue to be too high. Then people adjust their strategies and their prices and other things here. Certainty is what creates, one way or another, confidence to do a deal at some number. But when it's uncertain, that's when everything seems to... Uncertainty, like in the market, seems to be the real problem. Tell me the market's down and I'll know what to do. Tell me the market's up and I'll know what to do. Tell me I can't decide, I don't know what to do.
Yeah. And so, and I think that trickles down to people's spending habits on a daily basis. You know,
exactly.
You want to go out for dinner and it costs a lot more than it used to. And then you go, the stock market was down today, or I don't have the promise of getting a raise or making a commission or whatever the case is. And you're like, I'm not going to go out.
I'll tell you one little trickle down that trickles down all the way to me here. I've got one piece of property. You got gazillions of them. I've got a house I inherited. I rented out in the desert. This year, the hot season's ending, so by now we usually rent it for the next season. People are, before they leave town, they want to make a deal, and I'm going to come back here in December. I've had three people, it's never happened in 12 years since my father passed away and left me this house. Three people say, I'm going to take your house. We drew up a lease, and at the last minute, they got cold feet.
Yeah, so I think you get a lot more of that when you have this uncertainty.
Yeah.
You have tire kickers. You have people that are on the fence that don't pull the trigger. You have people that second guess themselves. You have people that continue to shop around. And we see that on the apartments all the time, where we have people that come, they say, they fill out the applications, and then they go, oh, either I got approved in another place or I decided to move in with family. And did you not know that when you filled out the stuff? And so you really do have people that are having a tough time making ultimate decisions at the end of the day. But that also gets back to closing the transaction. So from a brokerage standpoint, if you compare it to commercial real estate, if you have interviewed people, then say how many deals got pretty close to the finish line and then unraveled, I think you'd see that there's a larger percentage now with the circumstances that you have than before.
Right.
And it makes it much more difficult on all the parties. And I think you're going to continue to see that. It's unfortunate, but I think you're going to continue to see that. And we see it in our own world.
Only good news is there's one place you can tune in to hear what's happening and hear people commiserate in real time what they're seeing, what they're observing. It's Let's Talk Real Estate here.
Yeah, I think, look, for people out there, the takeaway is you got to be smart about what you're doing. You've got to be diligent. You've got to get whatever information you need to get and then make your decision. Because the other issue of it is if you're indecisive, you're just wasting more time trying to figure out what the plan is. And you might as well just do nothing and save the time and focus it on something
else. Exactly. Making no decision is a decision. And today it seems like you got to be more nimble and react quicker. People want to just sit and wait and see what everybody else is doing. And I'm not sure that's the best strategy going forward right now.
I feel like the sidelines are very crowded at the moment.
Yeah, right.
And the infield, maybe not so much. And so,
all right.
Well, with that said, we'll call it there. I would say tune in next week. We'll have something else to talk about. And we are hoping and keeping our fingers crossed that it's positive. And if it's not, we're going to put a spin on it anyway and make
that's
it positive.
Right. Right.
But we do appreciate everybody listening in, tuning in. For everybody out there, have yourself a good week. Stay safe. And we'll see you here next week on Let's Talk Real Estate.
There you have it. You've been listening to Let's Talk Real Estate, your weekly BS with Barry Saywitz about the current state of the real commercial real estate market right here in Southern California. On Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studio here at the University of California Irvine's Beal Applied Innovation Center.